From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. When it comes to money and politics, President Obama has been a pathbreaker. He fired up the internet, declined public funds, took presidential campaign spending over $1 billion. Now, President Obama is swinging private money in behind his policies with a new 501c4 called Organizing for Action. Supporters say it's to fight fire with fire as Republicans fire up their own tax-exempt private money juggernauts. Critics say it risks corrupting the American presidency. This hour on Point, money, politics, and Obama's privately funded new group to advance his public agenda. You can join the conversation. Is this just what the president needs these days to make headway in Washington? Or is this over the line, putting big money donors too close to executive power? We will hear in a moment from Fred Wertheimer of Democracy 21, which has been sharply critical, and Tad Devine, a Democratic strategist who says this is what it now takes. But first, joining me from Washington is Philip Rucker, White House correspondent for The Washington Post. He's covering the two-day Founders Summit of Organizing for Action in Washington. Philip, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, glad to be here.
What is this group?
Well, it's called Organizing for Action. The acronym there is OFA, which was also Obama for America. This is actually an outgrowth of the president's campaign organization. It's essentially turned into this 501c3 nonprofit group that's going to be doing a lot of policy-based advocacy. The founders of the group have made clear that they're not going to be working to elect specific candidates, not in the midterm elections, not even in 2016 when the race to replace Obama begins. But instead, they're going to be trying to mobilize Obama's campaign supporters around the country to help him pass his legislative agenda. So immigration, gun control, climate change, the fiscal debates. They're hoping that the supporters out in the country can apply some pressure to lawmakers, particularly those Republican lawmakers or conservative Democratic lawmakers who may be a little reluctant or resistant to the president's agenda in Congress.
Now, that sounds like grassroots, but this dinner at the St. Regis Hotel a few blocks from the White House last night in Washington, very swanky hotel, was hardly the masses. There were 75 people there, and there's been a lot of talk about the big money being called in to help put this group's work together. What's the criticism that's hot out there these days?
Well, what we have here is some of Obama's top political advisors, Jim Messina, who was the campaign manager in 2012, David Plouffe, who managed the 2008 campaign, and others have been traveling the country meeting with big business titans, Silicon Valley executives, other people who might be willing to contribute or raise hundreds of thousands of dollars to support this group. If you raise $500,000 or more, you become part of a finance committee that gets quarterly meetings with the president. And that's led to some criticism that this is a way to sell access to the American presidency. They're trying to raise this money, although the Founders Summit, what seemed most striking to me at the events yesterday that were open to the press, is that there were really very few donors there, actually. A lot of the attendees here are some volunteers from around the country, as well as campaign staff and other sort of familiar faces. Stephanie Cutter, Reggie Love, who was the president's former body man and personal assistant, they were in attendance, people like that, kind of trying to figure out a way to continue this campaign organization forward.
There were some big business people there. Eric Schmidt, chairman of Google, was there.
That's right.
As you and others report, many were not. Is that because there's been this firestorm of criticism, even from some Obama supporters about this? Maybe they don't want to show their faces, but are they cutting the checks, Philip?
Well, we don't really have a clear answer to that yet. I imagine that some of them are cutting the checks and may not want to appear in public given the criticism right now. But there's also a chance that a lot of them are just not ready to be writing checks yet. We're only a few months removed from what was a very intense presidential election cycle. Many of these donors spent hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars by way of the super PACs to try to get Obama elected. And they may be wanting to take a little bit of a break here from the political fundraising before the next election. But we'll see. I think at some point we're going to get a finance report from OFA to find out how much they have been able to raise in these early months. And that'll be a clear indication of whether, donors are on board or not.
President Obama last night at the St. Regis Hotel kind of trying to make light of the money side. This is the way politics goes these days, with a little joke here, but at the same time intimating it takes money
to push agendas these days. Here's the president last night at the Organizing for Action dinner, speaking with donors and more.
Being friends with a politician is like perpetually having a kid in college, because you're writing checks all the time, and you know it doesn't seem like the kid ever graduates. Well, you know, I've graduated. I've run my last campaign, but we're not done with the work that led me to run in the first place. And I'm hopeful that with your continued ideas and support, your voices, that we can continue to make progress over the next several years.
To get out there, sort of beat the bushes and get an Obama agenda pushed through. Philip Rucker with the Washington Post, until just days or a week and a half ago or so, they were open to corporate money. They backed away from that. When and why?
They have. It's not exactly clear why, although there's been a lot of criticism about this. But Jim Messina announced yesterday that they would not be accepting any corporate donations. They also won't be accepting donations from federally registered lobbyists or from foreign donors. So they're really relying here on individuals. And they've said that they're going to disclose the identities of all of their donors who raise more than $250. That is different than some of the other similar advocacy groups that are out on the scene here. So they're trying to be transparent. It seems to be an attempt to beat back some of this criticism they've been receiving, not just from Republicans, but also from government watchdog groups.
And just to be clear here, Philip, this is new for a president to have a 501c4 behind him, but it's hardly as though they're not out there and operating aplenty. I mean, give us a little sense of the other side of the aisle. There are very big ones that have been supporting Republican agendas and candidates.
There are, and you know, the Supreme Court decision a few years ago in 2010 really laid the groundwork for this, and we saw in the last couple of years these groups really rise to prominence, particularly on the Republican side. American Crossroads has several different branches that they do electoral work, but they also do issue advocacy work, and there are other groups as well. But Organizing for Action is really the first time that a president has ever had a group dedicated solely to his legislative agenda. Again, this is not a group that's out there kind of beating the bushes for all Democrats and pushing a Democratic agenda. It's very specifically around Obama's agenda. And, you know, the founders are trying to root it in Barack Obama's legacy. They're talking about how, you know, this is how he's going to get immigration passed. This is how he's going to get gun control passed. And 25 years from now, when he's sitting giving a retrospective interview about what it was like being president, this is what he's going to point to as one of the things that made his presidency historic. And so they're you know, trying to root it in his legacy in order to, you know, stir up support from those who backed him in the campaigns.
Philip Rucker, White House correspondent for The Washington Post, covering the Founders Summit of the Organizing for Action, the president's, agenda-pushing, policy-pushing outfit with private money behind us, joining us there from Washington. Philip, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Here was Michelle Obama announcing the creation of Organizing for Action January 18th.
Winning an election won't bring about the change we seek. It's simply the chance to make that change. So I hope that you will join Organizing for Action to seize that chance. Thanks so much.
Organizing for Action, a 501c4 tax exempt. They don't even have to say who's putting the money in, though they say they will. It's been very controversial as the White House, people around the president have got it up on the rails. Let's go again to Washington. I'm joined now by Fred Wertheimer, founder and president of Democracy 21, which advocates for campaign finance reform and transparency in government. Been very critical. Fred, thank you for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
And with us from Washington, Tad Devine, a Democratic strategist, senior advisor in Al Gore's 2000 and John Kerry's 2004 presidential campaigns, president of Devine, Mulvey, Longabaugh, Democratic media consulting firm. Tad Devine, thank you for being here.
Hello, Tom. Good to be with you.
Fred, the heart of your critique is?
Well, there are two major problems with this organization. The first is that it is an arm of the president. And they make no bones about that. Now, this has never been done before, as you have mentioned. It creates the opportunities for large sums of money to be given directly to benefit a federal office holder and his interests from folks who then will have the opportunity, at least the opportunity, to buy influence over government decisions, and it will create the appearance of such influence. Now, we have all kinds of rules that exist now to prevent unlimited amounts and certain kinds of sources from providing money to directly benefit a federal office holder because it is dangerous.
Your group says it opens a door to corruption.
It creates the opportunity for corrupting influence, and we've seen that happen in the past.
Fred Wertheimer, we're going to unpack that in some depth here. If you'd give Tad just a moment before the break. Tad Devine, you said, look, this is the way politics works these days. Fred doesn't like the looks of this. Why do you think it's being done?
Well, I think the president recognizes that if he's going to lead his agenda into law, he's going to have to compete with what the Republicans are doing on their side, which is in a post-Citizens United environment, the Supreme Court case, which basically said groups and individuals can contribute as much money as they want to whatever cause they want, that in that environment, with the Republicans raising tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, the president must compete with them. And if he doesn't compete, he's going to lose.
Tad Devine, Fred Wertheimer, we're going to dive right on in here. Listeners, you can join us. Are you watching all this? Are you okay with it? Are you unsettled by it? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the controversial push to put big private money behind President Obama's agenda in the White House, the permanent campaign taken to a new level, big donors pushing public policy, but also getting personal access, and how that plays out. The president here at the Organizing for Action dinner at the St. Regis Hotel in Washington saying, look, he just wants to govern at least for a little while here.
I think here in Washington, you know, this idea has been viewed with puzzle, you know, suspicion and people have been puzzled about what it is that we're trying to do, because the usual idea is, well, this must just be a mechanism to try to win the next election in 2014. And what we've tried to explain to people is that, no, I actually just want to govern, at least for a couple of years.
Fred Wertheimer, you hear the president there. He just wants to govern, and this is what it takes these days. We've got listeners responding aplenty, Fred. And let me just give you a sample. Ron writes to us on Facebook. He says, get real. The Bushies planted oil company shills in whatever positions they could find. Rove and company spend billions to try and buy America. But having Obama tied to an organization that wants to improve the country, that's evil? He says this is another bogus issue to feign indignation over. What do you say, Fred?
I say that we have experienced corruption scandals throughout our history. That's why we have rules to prevent money from being directly used to buy influence with federal office holders. There are no rules that govern this entity. This entity could accept foreign money. It could accept corporate money. They say they won't. But what I'm saying to you even if they're just accepting individual money, they are creating the opportunity for buying influence. But I want to make a second point. Mm-hmm. This is an incredibly dangerous precedent, because if President Obama establishes this as legitimate for federal office holders, to have your own privately funded entity carrying out your policy goals, you will see these crop up all over Congress, and you will see them crop up without any rules. So you won't necessarily have these voluntary offers of disclosure. You won't have these voluntary statements that we won't take corporate or foreign money. This is problematic in two ways. It's a problem for the president to be doing this, and it's a problem in terms of what it's going to create down the road with all kinds of federal office holders creating these kinds of entities.
Fred, I want to take it to Tad Devine, but before I do, because I can imagine a lot of listeners paying attention here and saying, scratching their heads a little bit and thinking, you know, there is so much money all over politics these days. I mean, millions, hundreds of millions, billions. How is this different? Take your razor very fine, Fred, to cut what exactly is different about this. Americans are accustomed to seeing money all over politics, so what are you suggesting could be bought or paid for or corrupted in a different way here?
Well, look, I mean, I agree with Tad that the Citizens United decision is a disaster for the country, and it's created all kinds of problems. But that does not mean we should sit back and simply accept the idea that corruption or the potential to corrupt becomes a way of life in our system. Citizens don't believe that. 70% of the country believes super PACs should be illegal. There are advocacy groups on all sides here. It's not as if without this entity, there will be no one on the outside supporting the president's goals and efforts. But when you tie money directly to office holders and give people the opportunity to provide unlimited, huge amounts to whatever their interests are, you're creating an inherently corrupt system. And regardless of the other problems that exist, we can't have that, and we must fight it, and we certainly will fight it.
You're saying somebody gives $500,000 to a president's 501c4, and the next thing you know what? They're in the Lincoln bedroom drafting presidential executive policy.
You have the potential for this, and we've seen it in history. You can't look at this simply in terms of President Obama and his agenda. You have to look at it at what kind of systemic approach you will create with this kind of entity. And if you think President Obama is a great president and he's honest as can be and he's never going to do anything wrong, that doesn't solve the problem of what happens with this kind of entity becoming legitimate.
Ted Devine, that's a pretty broad, deep criticism. You're saying, let's be practical. This is what it takes to make policy. But are you worried about this bigger picture of establishing precedent for money practically straight into the White House policy hands?
Sure. And I think the points that Fred is making today are very valid, you know, that we have to, as citizens, be concerned about this. But I think we have to look at this situation and make a judgment about it. There are no rules, as Fred has said, to govern this. The reason there are no rules is because the Republicans in the Congress are obstructing any effort to change the campaign finance law, and the Supreme Court of the United States in a 5-4 decision said, basically, there are no rules, okay? That's why there are no rules. It's not because the president doesn't want there to be rules. He would gladly accept those rules. And in terms of it being a dangerous precedent, the other point that Fred was making, the problem is it already exists on the Republican side. There are groups like Crossroads Policy and Strategy Group that they're accepting unlimited donations from individuals. And unlike the president's group, unlike what Jim Messina and the others are trying to do, they refuse to disclose who their donors are. So I think this situation is bad. I agree with that. But unless the president competes with them, he's going to lose to them.
And certainly, well, there's a lot of dark money out there. Let me put Karl Rove's voice in here, Fred, and I'll come to you. Here's Rove. This was July 2010, telling Fox News that Citizens United allowed his supporters to continue to contribute even after they maxed out their direct contributions. Here's Karl Rove.
American Crossroads is collecting money in excess of the individual contribution limits that the RNC is allowed to give. What we've essentially said is if you've maxed out to the Senate committee, congressional committee, or the RNC, and you'd like to do more under the Citizens United decision, you can give money to American Crossroads 527 or Crossroads GPS.
Karl Rove's saying, bring it on, Fred. There's a reality. And they don't say who's giving. I mean, it's a few billionaires and more, but
American Crossroads does disclose. Crossroads GPS is like the president's group, a 501c4 group. We believe they are not entitled to this tax exemption. We have written 6 letters to the IRS asking for investigations and findings that they are not entitled to keep their donors secret. But let me go back to something that I want to correct here. I said there were no rules governing these 501c4 groups, which means that any money can come into them. There are lots of rules around There are big problems created by this Supreme Court that doesn't understand the dangers that they have opened the door to. But there are various rules. We sent a letter yesterday to the president basically saying there are serious questions about whether he is complying with the Government Ethics Act.
You mean when he's out there at the hotel giving a speech to potential donors?
In soliciting donations for OFA. I understand all of the money that's sloshing around in the country, and it is a disaster for the system and for the American people. It does not justify taking steps that threaten the integrity of the presidency or the political system, or in the long term are going to open wide doors for direct corruption of federal office holders. The president can compete without this entity. There are all kinds of progressive advocacy groups out there. There are labor unions who work on these issues. It's not as if this entity is the absolute determinative of whether the president can get his agenda.
I mean, there's a lot of cognitive dissonance here because Obama himself, President Obama, even before he was president, he was sort of a trailblazer in bringing private money in, but at the same time, very critical of the Citizens United decision and the whole wave of political money. Here he is. This was last October, talking with NBC's Brian Williams.
The amount of money that is being spent in my campaign and Mr. Romney's campaign and the super PACs that are out there is ridiculous. And I, as you will recall, when the Citizens United decision came out, I took a fairly unusual step of saying this was bad for our democracy in a State of the Union speech. I continue to believe that.
Continues to believe that, but his people are now raising private money directly to support his agenda. Is that good? Is that bad? Sheila in New York, the Poister, New York. Thanks for calling, Sheila. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I really don't see this as unprecedented. This is just another step in a disaster that's been working for the past 40 years. With the CPAC, with ALEC, now this. So to me, this isn't unprecedented. Mm. This is just a step you could see coming. And it seems to me it depends on which side is talking. And that's partly the media's fault because you've got one side of the media always presenting one side, advocating one side, and then accusing the other side of the media of advocating, say, a liberal agenda. So when you say there's advocacy groups out there, that might be fine, but they're not heard if the media, who has its own agenda, doesn't put them on. So what are you to do?
Well, you would hope the media would be listening to the people as well as the politicians. Hope you'd be listening loud and clear. I mean, you're right, though. This goes way back. Look back in the Clinton administration, there was this famous quote from Johnny Chung, the Taiwanese-born businessman, big Democratic donor. He said, "The White House is like a subway. You have to put in coins to open the gates." Fred, Sheila doesn't see what's unprecedented here.
Well, interestingly enough, we did have all of that unlimited money going into the system that Mr. Chung captured in a very
pithy way there.
Yes. But what we did then was end that system. We passed legislation that shut that down. That particular system doesn't exist anymore. And we were pretty much, to a pretty good degree, dealing with these problems until this Supreme Court came along in its wisdom and decided after 200-plus years that all of a sudden corporations had a constitutional right to spend unlimited resources to influence our elections. And they basically changed the landscape of American politics. It was and is a disastrous decision that ultimately will be overturned. But in the interim, we have a bad system and we have to do the best we can. It does not justify creating the kinds of dangers that OFA creates. I think this was a mistake by the president, and I think he ought to end this organization, and I think it is going to cause great additional problems in the future. I don't think it's justified by the argument that says other people are doing other things, so the president has to do this. I just don't think this is ends justify the means.
And here we are in the thick of it. Ben in Fletcher, Vermont. You're on the air, Ben.
Hey, Tom. I think that this is just a continuation of not just sort of a slippery slope, but jumping off a greased precipice. There's already too much corruption and money involved in politics, and I think it's really disturbing that the president is no longer acting on behalf of the people, but simply coming forth with his own personal agenda and doing what he can to further that. For me personally, the biggest issue is hegemony that exists in this country, particularly in the media. And just here in Vermont, we currently have a very loud debate about gun control in a state where the concept of gun violence, which violence is violence either way, is not a real issue, but people are still trying to push an agenda. And recently at our state capitol, there was a government and media-sponsored rally for gun control, to which only 50 people showed up, and that was sponsored. And all the grassroots efforts for people who are protecting their rights got over 400 to attend a rally just weeks before.
So you can get a really warped sense of what's actually going on out there. But you call it the president's personal agenda. But, that, you know, Ben, what he says is, look, I was elected. I was elected to do these things on immigration, on gun control, more. And I won't get them through unless I have this kind of support behind me. So I need this to act on the public will, he says, Ben.
The example I was trying to use was to show that people's perception is not always true. He might claim that he was elected on these grounds, but people don't know what's actually going on.
You get enough money in there, and it's hard to tell who believes what. Tad, does that change? I mean, who can't be sympathetic to Fred Wertheimer's concerns here? You, as you said, you are as well. So what's a president do? Does he really have to do this? Can he just use the giant bully pulpit of the White House to push that public agenda, Tad?
Tom, I don't think that's enough, unfortunately. Listen, I agree with Fred that Citizens United changed the landscape and was a disastrous decision. But I think where I disagree is that the president has to step up and compete with Republican groups and special interests who are pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into their agenda. He's got a great organization that he's built now in the course of two presidential campaigns. It's a grassroots organization. It has millions of people who are involved in it. Now, in order to communicate effectively with that organization, to mobilize it on behalf of the issues that he cares about, like immigration reform and gun safety, and most importantly, fixing the economy that he inherited when he came into office, he's going to have to talk to those people aggressively, and that costs money. And, you know, they've said this organization is going to be one which does not focus on electoral politics, but instead focuses on leading into law the president's agenda. I think that's an important thing to do. And I think, while I recognize the threat, I think the bigger threat is that the president lays down while the other side rolls over.
Tad Devine, Democratic strategist, Fred Wertheimer with Democracy 21. Please stand by in Washington. We're talking about the president's 501c4 soliciting big money to push his agenda. Private money pushing a public agenda. Listeners, what do you think? Do you trust President Obama not to be swayed by private donors? What about the next president? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the controversial push to put big private money, and to be fair, lots of American citizens, behind President Obama's public agenda in the White House with a new tax-exempt 501c4 Organizing for Action, kind of the heir to his presidential campaign. Now he and his supporters say out there to push an agenda that they're afraid otherwise may run into headwinds of money from the other side and go nowhere. But what are the implications here? Tad, Fred, lots of people writing online. I mean, here's John. Writes, wait a minute, Obama has a dinner with high rollers and there's talk of undue influence? Where was this discussion during the reign of Bush II when Big Oil not only had a seat at the table, but had the president and Veep calling the shots? Can you say Halliburton? Is Obama supposed to stop playing politics while the big spenders on the GOP side keep financing media attacks on every policy issue? Please spare me. On the other hand, Jim writes, if Dick Cheney had his own 501c4, we would be furious at such a scandal. Fred has a point, Jim writes. Obama is better than this action. Well, it's an action he's taking. Sandy from Michigan writes, what do we always tell our kids? Just because everyone else is doing it doesn't make it right. Tad?
Well, you know, I think they're all valid and fair points. And I'm not going to debate the optics of this. You know, I think Fred makes a very fair point that this doesn't look good. But the truth is, the optics of fundraising always looks bad. You know, even in a campaign, when the president is out there or his opponent is out there appearing, you know, at campaign events, the optics of it are terrible. In fact, sometimes the things they say in these events, as it turned out when Mitt Romney said that 47% of the people doesn't care about him, that turned out to be pretty bad too and inconsequential in the campaign. But this doesn't look good. But just because it doesn't look good, just because the optics of it are bad, doesn't mean that the president should roll over and let the other side have full possession of the airways and the full force of all the resources to win the battle, the legislative battle that lies ahead.
You know,
Could I just comment?
Yes, please, Fred.
You know, normally what would happen here, this was the president's campaign committee, his campaign operation.
It's now running
which
this,
is now turned into Organizing for Action. Normally, after a president's elected, the campaign apparatus goes into the party. The Democratic National Committee, the Democratic Party, has a role to play on behalf of its elected officials. Instead, the voter lists that the campaign committee has gone to Organizing for Action. What's the difference between the DNC and this private group, which almost seems like an alternative Democratic Party? There are limits on the money that the Democratic Party can accept. There are no limits on the money that this outside group can accept. And as we know, the outside group started out saying we're going to take corporate money, which you cannot take as a party or a candidate. So, I mean, there are entities and structures around to support the president, and the president has opted to basically walk away from the Democratic Party, and I mean, that's his choice. But in opting to do it, he has created an alternative entity that has the problems I've raised before and that I continue to believe is a mistake and can cause real problems down the road, whether it's with him or with other federal office holders.
I want to bring in a very particular witness here, if I may, to look beyond the optics. I mean, the issue can be, this witness says, the perspective that politicians themselves develop when they go down this road. And of course, it is by no means only Barack Obama going down it. But if we can do a little time travel here, Fred, Ted, in his own 2006 book, The Audacity of Hope, then Illinois Senator Barack Obama was talking about all this. And he said in there that he, as he campaigned, he found himself spending more time with people of means, trial lawyers and investment bankers. This is Barack Obama, hedge fund managers and venture capitalists. He says they were smart, they were interesting, they knew a lot, but they had a certain perspective on the world. His fundraising, and there's more going on now, left him in their company. Here's the president in his own voice reading from the audiobook version of The Audacity of Hope.
I know that as a consequence of my fundraising, I became more like the wealthy donors I met, in the very particular sense that I spent more and more of my time above the fray, outside the world of immediate hunger, disappointments, fear, irrationality, and frequent hardship of the other 99% of the population. That is, the people that I'd entered public life to serve.
He went on to say, let me give you just a little more. The longer you're in there, the narrower the scope of your interactions. It's hard to raise the money dollar by dollar. It's easier to raise it in big chunks. Here's the president again, in his own voice, from his own book, The Audacity of Hope, 2006.
Fundraisers organized by the special interests, the corporate PACs, and the top lobbying shops starts looking awfully tempting. And if the opinions of these insiders don't quite jibe with those you once held, you learn to rationalize the changes as a matter of realism, of compromise, of learning the ropes. The problems of ordinary people, the voices of the Rust Belt town or the dwindling heartland, become a distant echo rather than a palpable reality. Abstractions to be managed rather than battles to be fought.
Barack Obama in his own voice, in his own words from the Audacity of Hope 2006. David in Hartford, Connecticut, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm an Obama supporter, but I very much agree that this is going down the wrong road. However, I do hope the president is extraordinarily successful. I hope he makes it clear to the conservatives in this nation and to conservative politicians that this is a double-edged sword that they opened up, and as long as they're benefiting, they're okay with it. But that this is opening up something which does endanger our democracy, and it won't be changed until all of America, including conservatives, see that that Citizens United case is overturned and that money cannot buy the running of this country.
David, we hear your passion there. It's amazing how it cross-cuts. I mean, you wish him success. You don't like the weapon that's been picked up here. It's been picked up on a lot of sides. One more, Bell Buckle, Tennessee. Thank you, David. Rebecca, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to say I'm a citizen, and I volunteered with OFA before the president.
Organizing for Action? Or you mean the
yes,
camp?
Sir.
Okay.
As a local Democrat, and he hasn't walked away from the Democratic Party because I am the Democratic Party. I'm a registered nurse. I trust the president, and the justification is the people. He's acting on behalf of the people, which is me. This week, I got information directly from the president through the state. We need the money for our state directors. We're begging for it because it empowers us to use our voice. We've been using our voice, but now we have a direct information. I rely on NPR for tons of information, but this week, I wanted to talk to Governor Haslam in Tennessee and ask him to accept the federal funds to expand Medicaid. I see my patients' eyes. They cannot pay their medicine. So I took my own son's hospital bill. He had emergency surgery 2 weeks ago to show the governor what it really cost.
Yep.
In reality, he was in a rural hospital, transferred to another one, had to take an ambulance. It's
mm-hmm.
a huge cost.
Mm-hmm.
So this OFA is filtering to the people so we can get what we want done.
That's why not do it through the party, Rebecca? You've got big parties in this country with a long history.
With the party, but I am thrilled to be connected with OFA. I have never been so empowered, and I'm politically active as I have through OFA.
Rebecca, we've got it. Fred, what do you say to Rebecca? There she is in the front lines, and to her, this is the policy she wants, and it makes a difference to have this kind of vehicle.
Well, I understand the argument she's making, and I understand why she feels that way. And it's great that she's involved, and citizens should be involved. In the end, democracy needs rules, and we need rules that protect our democracy against the threat and the reality of corruption. Corruption undermines the interests of all of us. And it's clearly a balancing act on how you establish those rules. I've been around maybe too long to have seen too many scandals occur in Washington because of the influence of money. And the influence of money does not come from committed citizens like the individual who just spoke. Mm. It comes from very wealthy people. Often with their own interests to influence the government. So, I mean, I just think we need rules here, and I do not believe that the president cannot pursue his agenda unless he has this organization. I just don't think it's the essential arm that's going to make the difference in whether he can carry out his agenda. But even if it was, I think it's too dangerous an idea and entity for the short term and the long term, and it is, in my view, inconsistent with the message he has preached for many years now about the danger of business as usual in Washington, about the power of money and the dangers of political money in our system. I just think I understand why maybe he thinks he has to pursue this course, but I think he's wrong.
Ted Devine, is it a straight-up money battle now to steer national policy even after an election, whoever can muster the most millions or billions will win the national policy path?
Well, I think it's an important part of it. I mean, I think what has changed is after Citizens United, when essentially the rules that I think Fred is talking about were thrown out the window, the game changed. And I think the president has recognized that. You know, at the event he held last night, he said, I want to make sure the voices of people who couldn't be heard are heard. I think those are voices like Rebecca's voice, okay? And I think the effort that he's trying to make here is not to compete with the Republican National Committee, the DNC versus the RNC. I get that. It's to compete with these other groups, Crossroads, GPS, American Action Network, the Koch brothers, all of these groups that have grown on the other side of the aisle who are willing to expend enormous hundreds of millions of dollars on part of their agenda. He must compete with them to win and to get his agenda led into law.
But it doesn't sound like Rebecca can kick in $500,000. How can we be sure, you know, the next turn of the wheel that, you know, some big roller doesn't just roll right over her?
Well, listen, I again agree with Fred that there is danger here in this new system. But it is not the president who can change the system. All the president can do is unilaterally disarm. That's all he can do right now. And I don't think that's a really good decision for him to make. He should be fighting for the agenda that he was elected on. And in order for him to do that, he needs resources to compete with the groups on the right who have unlimited resources, which, by the way, comes from, in some cases, individuals and entities who they refuse to disclose.
In fact, Gregory in Lexington, Kentucky. Gregory, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I wanted to caution Mr. Wertheimer ending up achieving a Pyrrhic victory. When they established the Citizens United thing, just like they're saying, the rules changed to the point where the voting constituents don't matter so much as the fundraising constituents. And I think that's why you can see people like the current Republican Congress people ignoring the results of the election. The old adage used to be that election results mattered, and there they had to follow that. That's gone out the window. So thank you.
Yes, Gregory, thank you. Fred?
The president put enormous emphasis in both of his campaigns on the importance and value of small donors to his campaigns and to his presidency. And in the last campaign, he raised over $200 million in contributions of $200 or less. Those kinds of contributions are not the kinds of contributions that create the opportunity to buy influence and to potentially have corrupting results in a government decision. There isn't, but the president and OFA did not decide to focus their attention on raising small contributions. They put no limits on the amount of money they could raise, and in so doing, they are pursuing a path that is dangerous. And it is true that the rules have changed as it applies to campaigns and campaign activity. The rules haven't changed as it applies to advocacy groups that exist and have existed for some time. I just think the president had made a decision here that is based on what he sees as a short-term need that has very dangerous long-term consequences for the country, and I think it's a wrong decision.
Ted, Organizing for Action has said, Jim Messina and others, that they are not going to put money behind campaigns, let's say for 2014. Of course, the Karl Rove groups have put a lot of money behind campaigns. Do you think the Democrats or Organizing for Action will be able to resist doing that, or does this just roll into another, another big bag of cash going into actual votes eventually, Ted?
Well, I think that, you know, the purpose of organizing for action is going to be limited to the president's legislative agenda and to and focused on it. Now, having said that, as a Democrat and as somebody who will probably work on a bunch of those campaigns next year, I certainly hope that on our side there are groups that come into being and that raise money to compete with the Republicans. Because in 2010, when we didn't do that, when the Republicans seized the initiative with in the wake of Citizens United and poured huge amounts of money into these House races, it was a big reason that we lost control of the House of Representatives. So I don't think it will be OFA that does it, but I think other groups hopefully will, and I think they should.
Money, 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 money. Here we are. I don't know. There's not much to cheer about here exactly. We've got more clarity on what's exactly going on, and I'm grateful for that. Tad Devine with Devine, Mulvey, and Longabaugh. Thanks very much for being with us today from Washington, Tad.
Thank you, Tom.
And Fred Wertheimer, founder and president of Democracy 21. Fred, thanks so much.
Thank you. Glad to join you.
Listeners, there's the story. Now what do we do? Thanks for being here. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.